Welcome to today's special edition of Go Beyond with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, be sure to come and visit us. For more information about our ministry, please feel free to visit our website at www.judahministries.net. Here's Pastor Michael.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Michael Urisha, the senior pastor and founder of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, and I'm so glad you're able to join us for today's special edition of Go Beyond. Today, we have my good friend, my brother from another mother, all the way from Christian Faith Ministries in Pretoria, South Africa, the doctor, the bishop, Sammy Musepa is going to be with us today, so don't move. You do not want to miss this message. Pastor Musepa not only oversees a congregation in Pretoria, South Africa, but he has a heart for the entire continent of Africa. He travels from Cameroon to Uganda, Kenya, Zambia, Botswana, Tanzania, and obviously in South Africa as well. So he has a true heart for that continent. So we are so blessed, privileged, and honored to have him here in the United States of America, here in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, at the Judah Ministries International Worship Center. Now today he is going to be speaking about activating a life of victory. Powerful message. Get out your notebook, get ready to take some notes, and get ready to have your life transformed here during today's service. Now, if you're from the greater Pittsburgh area and you're ever in our area, we'd like to cordially welcome you to visit us at the Judah Ministries International Worship Center. The church is located at 525 Market Street, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15132. Once again, it's 525 Market Street, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15132, where there is always extravagant praise, intimate worship, and the unadulterated preaching of God's holy word. Well, praise God. Come on, let's go into the sanctuary right now and hear what thus saith the Lord through my good friend, the bishop, Bishop Sammy Musepa. God bless you.
He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. He has done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Apostle Michael Urisha, for having me to come over here to come and enjoy fellowship. This is a crazy church. Oh, my goodness. Let's give God a hand for that. Give God a mighty hand. Wow. This is indeed what we call church. Don't you think you need to invite as many as you can to come and fill this auditorium so that we can have many people enjoying church? You know, when we come to church, a lot of other things fall in place in our lives. And that is why I'm so happy to be here. It's very exciting to see all of you that are here today. I've had a wonderful 2 days so far. This is my third day or fourth day in this area, and every day there is food. And too much food. Oh my God, oh my God. I have been spoiled so much. I pray that it's not my wife who will pick me from the airport, because she will start asking me questions at the airport as to what happened to my belly and what happened to, you know. But we want to thank God for Judah Ministries, for all the leaders in this church. You are awesome. We appreciate you very, very much for standing, you know, with the man of God and Mama Dalla. That was wonderful singing, isn't it? Hallelujah. That was wonderful. We just want to appreciate God for the ministry here in Makisport. And we just say, may God continue to lift you up. And that every one of you that came to this service today, you will not be disappointed. Because God has a lot in store for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Apostle Michael Uricha, turned the clock around so that I don't look at it. Because I only have about maybe 7-8 hours to deal with issues. It went quiet on that side. Is it good to have fun in the house of God? Hallelujah. Like the apostle said, my names are Simple Sammy Mosepa. On Friday, I was talking to the group that was downstairs when we were having yet another meal. I was talking to them, and I said, you know, jokingly so, that if you give me $2.50, I'll tell you why I'm called Sammy. And somebody handed me $2.50 today so that I can tell you why I'm called Sammy. You know, and but I will, for the sake of that $2.50, I will give just a brief of why I'm called Sammy. And I'm doing this because I want you to catch my tongue. You know, you speak American, I speak South African or wherever I was born. So I want you to catch my tongue, because I'm here to communicate. Yes. And if I don't communicate, then it's a waste of time. Right. I need everybody to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Yes. Through my vocal cords. I speak a bit different from you, so that's why you need to pay attention. You need to tell your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's not about you now. It's about me and God and that man. Hallelujah. Because I want you to hear. You know, sometimes we go to church, and because of the mix of the noise and everything going on, you miss certain things that God brought for you. So today, I want us to pay particular attention. You know, like Apostle Michael said, they've been to South Africa a lot. There's a team that came to our church. Sister Yvonne was just reminding me that the day they came, we even had a deliverance and casting out demons. We do that every time. And if I walk near you and you have a demon, I will know. And we are going to deal with it. Hallelujah. The Lord has used us greatly in that ministry. And we just want to thank God for the grace of God, you know, because demons are no respecter of countries or persons. They are everywhere. Amen. They are everywhere. And the Bible tells us to go cast them out. And I was so excited to see my fellow Africans who come from the country where I was born. I was born in the nation of Zambia. All right. And if you've never been to Zambia, you need to kneel down so that I lay hands on you and pray for you, because Zambia is the place to be. You know, we always say God lives there and tries to visit other places. But I don't know about Makisport, but it was good. Wave your hands. My family from Zambia. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, when I was speaking to Pastor Mike, and I was saying, the church you are talking about, I think I've been there. You know, we were talking one time when he came to South Africa, when he told me that you bought this building, this beautiful building, and he talked about Marquee Sport. And I said, but I think I've been to that church. But it was not Judah. That's what I told him. I said, it was not Judah. When did you guys buy that church? I know that it was Presbyterian, I think, you know. And when I saw him, exactly, you know, he was stronger than he is right now, you know. They were stronger than, and I definitely did come to this church, but it was not Judah at that time. That's a long time ago. All right, it's a long time ago. But we want to thank God for what God has done for Judah Ministries. And I know, just participating in your worship here, I know that you are in the right place. You are in the right place. This is the place to be, not only on Sunday. This is the place to be all the time. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Like I'm saying, I just want to clear this, and then I'm going to go into the word as quickly as I can. You know, born in the nation of Zambia from a polygamous father, all right? Polygamy, you know polygamy, isn't it? The man had many wives, and we lived in a village, you know, in the people from Zambia will know the place called Kabwe, in the villages of Kabwe. That's where I grew up. That's where we lived. And the man, when he was, before he retired, he was in the city called Luansha. And when he retired, he moved back to the village where he came from and took us along. And when we were in school, we realized there were four boys, all of us different mothers, you know, and he put us in the same school. And you know, the 250 is now working, eh? This is the 250. And the man gave each boy that was born of his loins the same name.
What?
All right? Now, here we are in school, young as we were. I think I was number three of the four. And all of us had the same name. Same name, same surname. And that confused the teachers, you know. And the teachers were saying, what's going on here? So we would go back to him. He was a very vicious man, very arrogant man. We went back to him and said, Daddy, what's going on? It seems our names are the same, you know. He says to us, when I call, any of you must come. Okay, all right. But at school, it's not working well. They want us to have individual names. He hit us like you can never be. He says, I give you names. You come to me and tell you to change the names. And he gave us a beating of our lives. We went back to school the following day. I decided, no, this is enough. We're going to do this behind his back. So I told my brothers, I said, brothers, when we go for break, let's meet. We had a spot in the school where we would meet. Let's meet. I have something to share with you guys. So, okay. And we met the four boys. Funny enough, the other children, me, I had friends in the school. The other boys had friends. So all of them came together. It was a conference of naming ourselves. That's how it happened. And so I was chairing the meeting. And I said, you know what? People are laughing at us. We need to do something. I was younger than my, you know, older ones, but I initiated the whole thing so that I was the chairman of the conference. And I said, let's give ourselves names, you know? And so we started. I said, okay, me, I'm going to be called Sammy. Uh-huh, $2.50, $2.50, it has worked. Now, if you want to know more, $5. So we named ourselves. I became Sammy. The other one became Samson. The other one became Samuel. The other one decided on a different line. He became Alex. All right? And that is how I am Sammy Musepa. Hallelujah. That is how I came to have this name. You know, there is life out there. There are people who think differently. you know, but we want to appreciate God. I'm currently married so far to one wife for 39 years. You know, I said so far. You didn't like that one? All right. I've been married for 39 years to a lady called Dorothy. She's a preacher as well, very, very vibrant preacher. If you think I can preach, you need to listen to her. And then you will know she is a vicious preacher. And with her, black is black, white is white, green is green, everything. Me, I don't even know colors. So, you know, she's like that. And God blessed us with three children. They are grown up. And we have three biological grandchildren as well. Hallelujah. The information I'm giving you is very expensive. You know, I'm standing at the door there. You know, we have those grandchildren, and in the process of time, we adopted a lot of children who have now, they have children, they have their own families. Most of them were orphans, and we took care of them, and we still adopt children because we hate to see suffering. And so whatever God blesses us with, we pick a child, take the child to school, you know, make sure they have good clothing. Many times we would stay with them in the home, and that is just who we are. And we just want to appreciate God. I always thank God for Dorothy, who, you know, it's not easy to be married to a man like myself because I'm always gone. You know, I'm going to be home when I get back on Tuesday. I'll be home for 3 days, and I'm going to another nation called Cameroon because there's a big program going on. I move a lot in Africa. If you want to know anything about Africa, because what they have told you is that Africa is full of animals, and that's all you know about Africa, but there is a better side to Africa than you think. You know, it's a beautiful place to be, and we just want to thank God for what God has given us as Africans. And I'm telling you, Africa is rising like never before. Hallelujah. And God gave me a mission to go into that continent and to check what is there, because many Africans don't even know what is Africa. And so we are going. I go to many countries in there. There are 54 countries, by the way, in the continent of Africa. And I am going to as many of those countries as possible. Some are Muslim countries, and we are getting in there to go and preach, you know. And some don't even know who they are. They are neither Muslim nor Christian nor anything. We get in there to go and bring the gospel. Hallelujah. Of the kingdom of God. We want to thank God for that continent. Thank you for those of you that pray for Africa. We just want to appreciate God for his goodness. You know, because when I was growing up, I realized that almost everyone from all the continents are coming into Africa. And they are going to places where we, the owners of the continent, can't even go. You know, they go into the bushes, they go everywhere. Now when I started the research to know my continent, I realized how much God has blessed that continent. You know, with mineral wealth. Yes. I went back to the place where I was born. It's a small town, a mining town called Luansha. I realized the hospital where I was born is built on top of a mine. There's mining activity down there, but, you know, life is going on up there. I didn't even know that I'm born, you know, on top of wealth. Yeah. It's a copper mining town. We would see the belts, you know, the belts taking stones. To us, it's just stones, you know. They would call some companies, America this, China this, and all that. But now we are beginning to realize what God has given to us. You know, God does not make mistakes. If you think you are a mistake, I want you to fasten your seatbelt today, because you will begin to know who you are. God can never make a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes on your height. He doesn't make mistakes on your color of the skin. Even if your eyes are too big, it's not a mistake. And some people didn't hear what I say. He never makes a mistake. That's the kind of God that we have embraced. That's the kind of God that we know. So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I am here today to speak to you on a subject that I have entitled activating a life of victory. All right? Now, we are just going to, you know, to touch a switch that is going to open up things in your life. You know, traveling so much has shown me a lot of things. I have sat with kings. I have sat with, you know, people that are so poor. I have sat with everyone. I always say that, you know, with my traveling, I have slept in all kinds of places. Here, I've been treated very well in a beautiful hotel. It was very annoying when Gary comes and says, let's go, because I need to be in my room, and Gary says, let's go. You know, Deacon Gary, where are you, Gary? All right, but you are forgiven, don't worry. And especially because your wife is here. If you were alone, you know, forgiveness would have been thought about, but hallelujah. We just want to thank God. So I've been sleeping in many. I've slept in 1-star hotels, 2-star hotels, 3-star hotels, 4-star hotels, and I've also slept in one hotel, very beautiful. It's called All-Star Hotel. You know which one that is? Does anyone know the All-Star? That is outside, you know, where you see all the stars. Hallelujah. I've slept there as well. You know, when we are doing missions, you know, we sleep and we eat anything, you know, anything. There's nothing like, no, I don't eat this. We eat because we are missionaries. We send the gospel of the kingdom. So we appreciate God for his goodness. Activating a life of victory. Brothers and sisters, God never created us to fail. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
God never put us here on earth to be failures. God created us to be victors. To win. Wherever we are called to win. And so I came to speak to someone here today that if your life has been depressing, if your life has been going backwards all the time, every year you take 100 steps backwards to where you were, today we are flipping a switch that is going to send you into victory. Can somebody say, I hear you? We're going to flip that switch because, you know, going a little bit ahead of my own notes here, you see, there can be light in a building, and if you don't touch that switch, if you don't flip that switch, you will remain in darkness. And yet the lights are there. And when I look at you today, there is something in you, my brother. There is something in you, my sister, that is so powerful, but because of the things that have been happening in your life, you think that you are a loser, but I have news for you today. You can never lose, especially because God is on your side. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? There's something in you. You know, whatever it is that they have told you, they have spoken about you, they say you are a loser. Maybe just because of a divorce, they said you are a loser. Maybe just because of a sickness, they said you are a loser. Today, we are flipping that switch. And the switch we are touching today leads you into a life of overcoming, into a life of victory. It shall not be the same again. I will not visit Makisport and Judah for nothing. I am here today to give you yet another push to go ahead in your life. You know, we have a church that is so depressed. We have a church that doesn't know the kind of potential that you have. I want you to know that in the inside of you, there's such fire, there's such dynamite, you know. And when we flip the switch, we just want to blow into Makisport, and people will know there is a God in heaven. We cannot only be talking about the God of Abraham. He is the God of Judah as well. He is the God of this nation as well. The same God that blessed Abraham so much. He is the same God that I bring to you to say he will see you through.
Yes, he will.
I'm going to be praying after this for people that have been sick because some sicknesses are stubborn. They want to keep on eating you up and eating you up. Today we are touching that switch so that that sickness will disappear, because the Bible tells me by the stripes of Jesus you are healed. Is anybody in the house today? Matthew chapter number 16 verse 24, the gospel according to Saint Matthew, chapter number 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, do you know, friends, that Jesus speaks?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
You don't serve a dead God. Jesus spoke to the disciples. Jesus is speaking to someone here today. Jesus is saying something, and we need to have an ear that hears and listens when Jesus speaks. The Bible there says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires, somebody say desire.
Desire.
We're going to get out of here with heavy desire today. Hallelujah. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and begin to follow me. I knew I would have only two yeses here today. Because when you talk about the cross, people begin to say, what are you talking about? That is for Africans, not for Americans. He says here, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. I'm building something. I'm building something. First Peter chapter number 2 verse 21. First Peter chapter 2 verse 21. Here is Jesus speaking. Are we there? On First Peter chapter 2 verse number 21. Are we there? Are we there? Hey. Hey. Has it come?
Yeah.
Not yet? Okay, let me resort to my Bible. Has it come? Not yet? Has it come? Not yet? Hallelujah. 1 Peter and chapter number 2 in verse number 21. Is it there now? Not yet? Ish, who is the deacon in this church to go deal with some people here? Finally, brethren. Hallelujah. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us.
Yes.
Listen to that. He what? Suffered for us. Leaving us, or living for us, an example. That's what makes Christianity beautiful, because we have something to look up to.
Yes.
There is an example. It says, leaving us an example that you should follow his footsteps. My God, we're flipping that switch today. That you will follow in that footsteps. Brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves very important questions. What was in the mind of God when he created us? We had no part in our own creation. He decided where you were going to be born, it's his decision.
Yes.
All right? How you were going to be born, it is decision. I never went to him and said, I want to be born in Zambia. No. I found myself there.
Amen.
I found myself. You know, I don't think there's anyone here, if you were born in the US, I don't think you had a discussion with God to say, God, as for me, I want to be born in the great nation of America. And even the nose you have, did you decide on that? No. Some people try to go change it and it starts melting. But you know what? At that point, I want you to understand that if you don't accept yourself, you can never have victory in this world below. You need to learn to know who you are, to understand yourself, to accept that God is the one that created me the way I am, and be proud of who God has made you to be. Yep. Hallelujah. Just be proud of who he has made you to be. What was in the mind of God when he created us? You know, I see him at the initial stages when he created, he gives us the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden is endued with beautiful things. You know, I see him giving us a lot of things, and all the things that God gave to his creation were things that were going to take the person forward and not backwards. Yes. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Fruit to take us forward. Things that were going to take us forward. Didn't he say when he created us, let them have dominion? Yeah. Let them have what? Dominion. Dominion means control. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Let them have dominion. He said it himself. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion. We are created for dominion. We are created for victory. We are created to conquer. There's nobody who is going to come to Judah and still remain a loser. No, we are going to conquer. I don't care where you come from, what part of life you have had, but I know that the story is changing as we flip that switch today. The story is changing. Yes, you have had tears, but God created you to conquer. Yes, you have had bad things in your life, but God created you to conquer. Hallelujah. We are created for victory. We are created for victory. We are created to win. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I want to remove that spirit that keeps on pulling you down, saying you can't make it. No, you can make it no matter what. You can make it in your life. Yes. You will make it in your life. Listen, even your children will make it. Yes. Hallelujah. They'll make it in life. Because that's who we were created to be. Because in us, you know, there is inbuilt victory in us. That's why when you are walking, you know, when you're walking, you want to go to town or within your house, you want to go to the kitchen. You know, you don't walk backwards. Is there anyone who walks like this to go shopping at Walmart? We are always going forward because our life is success. You know, we push forward. We don't push backwards. And that is why I'm here today to say, no matter what it is that is happening in your life, we are pushing forward. We are pushing forward. I am joining my faith with yours today so that we can have things that have not happened to begin to happen. You know, I reached a time in my life and ministry when I got so fed up of suffering. Being born in these poor families, you know, where, you know, I told you the man was a polygamist. They'll cook food and put it in one dish, and you have to be tough to get food. Because wow. You have to push others out of the way to grab in the dish in order to eat. You had to be tough. Yeah. You're taking long to wash your hands. Sometimes don't even wash your hands, go eat. That's how it was. And I became a pastor many years ago, and man, the suffering was still very bad. And you know what made it worse? Bible school. Ouch. Did I just say that? I'm sure there are pastors here. Bible school made it worse because Bible school told me, don't think about money. Don't talk about wealth. Because you are a man of God, you have to live by faith. And they taught me the art of being lazy. 6 years in the ministry, I can't even buy my wife a dress. What type of man is that? 7 years in the ministry, until I said, no. You are called my wife. I want you to hear some of the things we've been taught is not true. We need to change. Because I'm in a young man, strong, I have all the energy, but failing to put bread on my own table. I said, no, this doesn't make sense. I'm preaching a gospel with a lot of fire. Demons are falling everywhere. When we go to preach in the crusades and outside, people are giving their lives to Jesus. You go home, there is no bread. And I started to think, no. Something is not right. I can't place it, but something is not right. I'm talking to Dorothy. I'm saying, Dorothy, there's something that is not right. How can I be failing to feed my own children? What does that mean? They said to live by faith. What is to live by faith? I started to re-examine what I was taught. And I tell you, I had to find a dustbin to throw away 99% of what I was taught. Quack! In the dustbin. I decided, no, I'll still preach the gospel, but I need food on my table. I'll preach the gospel, but I need a good car to drive. I'll still preach the gospel, but I need to buy a building. Are you following what I'm saying? I decided, no, threw those things in the bin, and I started my own theology. The theology of taking care of my children.
There you go.
Bought my first car. Bought my second car. Jealousy won't allow you to clap your hands. Bought this, bought that. You didn't hear that part, isn't it? I was too quick for you. That's why I told you, please, had time. I said, jealous won't allow you to clap hands. When I said, bought first car, you should have clapped your hands. So I started to see that ministry is going on. Demons are still being cast out. But at least I'm able to buy clothes for my children. I'm able to buy clothes for my wife. I'm able to do things. I realize that sometimes the devil, you know, the devil is a liar. You know, the devil is a liar. He wants to blind us from who we really are. We are people that are supposed to take on nations. We have dominion. We are people that are supposed to be economically powerful. You know, just the economy of your kitchen must change. Did you hear what I said? The economy of your own house must change, because that is exactly who we are created to be. We are the head and not the tail. We are in front and not at the back. That's just who we are. We were created to conquer. And today, Judah, we shall conquer. What is it that is going on in your bank account? We shall flip the switch.
Come on, sir.
Hallelujah. We shall flip the switch. I learned it the hard way after suffering for years. And I said, no. But you know what? What they didn't tell me in the Bible school, I am practicing it now, and yet I have not fallen from the faith, because they said, if you have money, you will fall. They didn't tell me that it is the love of money. They told me it is money. No, it is not money. You need a lot of it. To survive on this earth, you need a lot of it. Everything you see here is speaking about money. And then they tell you, don't go make money. What is that? Huh? They're foolish. They tell you everything. I'm holding a microphone. Did Apostle Michael or whoever is in charge go to the shop that does sound and say, oh, I'm from Judah Ministries, we need a microphone? And then the salesman will run and say, okay, Judah Ministries is here. Here is microphone. Did it happen like that? He had to produce this. And then this is the thing they are telling you, don't make it. I want to create some very wealthy people out here.
My God.
You know, there must be a time when people will fight to pay for things. Are you hearing that? When they say, oh, the keyboard is broken. One person will just say, don't worry about it. Sort it. Because why? We have it. If we don't have it, can we do that?
No.
If we don't have it, we begin to collect on a plate. You know? Please, even if it's $1, even if it's what. I am tired of that kind of life.
Amen.
I think the Church of Jesus Christ is better than that. I think the people of God are better than that. I think the people of God can rule this world. If only we can abide by what the Bible says. The scriptures are very clear, you know, that we have been given dominion. Look at the funny things that are being passed against the church. You know why? Because the church is not there. We just see it on the news that, okay, church now, you can only meet for 1 hour. If you were there, would you allow them to do that? No.
No.
You would tell them, get out of here. We know what we are doing.
Amen.
We understand ourselves. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, you know, by the grace of God, I speak to a lot of very high-profile politicians in my continent, very, very high-profile. I know that they are just human beings. But sometimes they don't know what to do. One high-profile politician invited me to his office and he said, I don't know what to do. I don't understand how to rule this country anymore. And we gave him wisdom. We said, the Bible says, God says, and he began to rule with integrity in that nation. What are we talking about, ladies and gentlemen? We are saying we need to flip the switch to activate a life of victory. It cannot be a life of failure. You are not built for failure. Hallelujah. You are not built. You see, life, I move to the second part. I have three more parts, then I'm done. You know, life has battles. We all know that. Life has battles. And I want to say that the battles of life are not fought for nothing. It must be a madman who just wakes up and starts fighting you. There must be a reason why you are fighting. We were in the school where I was. You know, we had very few desks to sit on. Very few desks, very few chairs. So you have to be, you know, early in class for you to sit on a desk. If you're not early, you sit on the floor. It so happened that this one day, I'm a little bit late. Not late as in time to start the class, but late as in time to get a desk. And another guy is late. There's only one more desk left. And both of us grabbed it at the same time. Are you hearing me? So now, because we both want to sit on that desk, there has to be a fight.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
There has to be a fight. The captain of the class says, okay, Sammy and the other guy, let's go to the field. You fight. Whoever wins goes and sits on the desk. For sure, I won't tell you who won, but you know, that one is my own secret. That one, I'm not even charging you for it, but I won't tell you who won. But one of us sat on the desk. And if you heard the African English, one of me sat on the desk. Hallelujah. And you know, you must be confused. You must be mad to just start a fight for nothing. Battles of life, we fight them because there's something that we want to get. He says to Joshua, be strong, be of good courage. Because why? You have to fight to go and get that which belongs to you. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that some things that are yours are in someone else's hands? The land that was flowing with milk and honey was not empty. The giants were there. You know, the Amalekites were there in the land that God says, go and possess the land. So the only way to take the land was to fight. Let us raise fighters in the house of God.
Yeah.
We are not talking about the cheap fight of fist fight. No, there are fights that are better than that.
Yeah.
This is a fight in the spirit.
Yeah.
This is a fight that will pull down the strongholds of the enemy. You cannot allow your children to be suffering and you're just seated. It's okay. It's not okay. You need to go into the spirit to flip the switch and begin to fight for your children. Begin to fight for your children in the name of Jesus. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. Battles of life are not fought for nothing. Today, We are switching. We are flipping that switch for a life of victory. Generations behind you, they will come and say, our daddy did this. I'm looking at people who streets of McKeesport will be named in your name because you fought. Hallelujah. Because you fought. I'm looking at people who buildings will be called after you or named in your name. Why? Because you fought. The Bible is very clear. We need to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have been losing in your life, always losing, always defeated, you know, today we are canceling all the pity parties. You know pity party? Where you are always feeling sorry for yourself. Today you are not going to feel sorry for yourself. You are going to rise up and stand. You are going to rise up and take that which belongs to you in the name of Jesus. Those of you that have been discouraged, today you are pushing aside discouragement and you are saying, I am a child of God. If God be for me, who can be against me? I am more than a conqueror. You are not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror, and you are going to conquer in this earth below in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The land flowing with milk and honey was not empty. The things that you are looking for are not empty. Let me say this here at this point, that you know what? We allow the devil to have the last say in our lives. From today, you must have the last say. When he went to Jesus and said, turn this stone into bread. Jesus, yes, was hungry. But you know what? Jesus had the last say. He would say to the devil and say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus always won the battle because he spoke. When the devil speaks to you 10 times, speak 10 times times 10. Have the final say. Have the last word must come from you, not from the devil. Did you hear what I said? Because you are powerful. You are more than that. Hallelujah. The children of Israel had to fight. They had to go and possess the land. Never allow the enemy to hold on to that which belongs to you. Let's not allow him to do that. We have allowed him for too much, but now we are possessing and we are getting that which is ours. Hallelujah. Do you know that health is yours? Let's go get it. Amen. Let's go get that health, because I know what it means to be sick, because the purpose of sickness is to pull you down so that you can't do anything. And I declare in the name of Jesus, if there be sicknesses and diseases here, we pull them down by the authority of the cross. That's why Jesus came, to heal the brokenhearted and to heal those that are sick in their bodies. You sickness, you pain, you disease, I command you now by the authority of the cross, be pulled down in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that wealth is yours? Wealth is yours. Wealth is yours. So let's go take it back. Amen. We've been given dominion. Wealth is ours. We need to be rich. Amen. It went quiet at the back there. We need, because you see, when money is in the right hands, it can do a lot of things. The problem is money is in the wrong hands. But you know what? We are going out there and possess what belongs to us. Get what belongs to us. When money is in our hands, our schools will be serviced properly. When money is in our hands, our cities will develop better. In the name of Jesus, I declare that God will give you wisdom to go and make wealth. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that he gives us the power to create wealth. Hallelujah. I want you to know, I asked myself a question. Am I going to be begging all the time? Every day, give me, give me. I cancel the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. I declare today by the authority of God that wealth is ours. Let's go and possess it. Let's go and get what belongs to us. For many years, things have been stolen from us. The children of Israel, their land had giants. They had to go and get it. What are those giants in your life? They are hindering you. When you think about it, you know, some of you don't want to go for that interview because you say, ah, that interview is very tough. Who told you it's tough? If God is for you, if God is with you, if God is on your side, there is no interview that you can fail.
That's right.
Because God is with you.
Yeah. Come on.
Let me say this. You know what? You know, the children of Israel were not strong. Those guys were very weak people. You know, they were being beaten left, right, center. Look at them failing to, you know, make a plan on Goliath. These guys were very weak.
Yes.
But you know what made them so powerful? Because the finger of God was upon them. We win battles not because we were clever, not because we went to university. We win battles because Jehovah God is with us. When God is with you, you can take on giants. When God is with you, you can take on any sickness and disease because God is on your side. We do what we do by the grace of God, not by the grace of university, not by the grace of who we are. It's not even by the grace of America. We do what we do by the grace of God. All we need is to embrace God. It's to put God on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Wealth is ours. Let's go get it. Amen. Let's flip that switch and go walk in victory. Victory is ours. We need to go and get it. You know, as I think about this teaching today, I want to give some dedications today. I dedicate this teaching today to those who have labored and labored day and night without success. Today, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he stands by the seashore and they say, we have labored, we have tried, and there was no fish the whole night. The King of Kings arrives and he says, throw it to the other side, launch out into the deep. And the King of Kings knows what he's doing. And Peter says, at your way, we have done it the whole night. We have been throwing this net, but we have caught nothing. But by your word, we are going to throw it in. And today, by the word of God, we are going to get that which belongs to us. I dedicate it to you that have labored and labored. You have gone from company to company and nothing is coming your way. Today, by the power of God, I pray that we will flip that switch and we are walking into victory.
Yes.
Dedicate this teaching to those that have been left alone. People promised you heaven and earth. And in the process of time, they left you alone. So you have to wonder alone what to do. Even those that were called breadwinners in your life, they left you alone. I dedicate this teaching to you. Today we are flipping the switch into for you to walk into victory.
Yes.
This thing is not about a man. You know, it's about God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I always say God is good, the devil is bad, people are crazy. So you cannot thoroughly and totally depend on man. You have to depend on God. God will make a way. There is always a way when it comes to God. Are you going through suffering? There is a way out. Hallelujah. You need to find that way. Are you going through sickness, pain, and disease? There is a way out. There is a way. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, I dedicate this to those who are pastors. There could be people that are pastors, but because of people, you can no longer even preach. I dedicate this to you, to those pastors who have been abandoned by people they thoroughly loved. Just left you like that. Today, we are flipping that switch in order for you to walk in victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. to the widows, the widowers, the orphans. You know, you are on your own, you are lonely. Today, we are flipping the switch so that you can walk in victory. By the grace of God, you are an overcomer. You are a winner. No matter who has left you, and no matter who has forsaken you, you know, as long as God has not forsaken you, ladies and gentlemen, I want to pray that Jehovah will help you. To those that are fighting sickness and disease, I dedicate this to you, because the switch is being flipped for us to walk in victory. Somebody say, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. My God, I'm here today to declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the game is not yet over. For those that felt that it is over, you might have children that are into things, they are doing things that you don't expect, the game is not yet over. And I speak as a way of prophecy that there will be children that will come back and kneel before you and say, Daddy, I am sorry. Mommy, I'm sorry for what I have done. There will be children that will come back, because I know the generation we are living in. It's a generation of rebellious children, but by the power of God, not in your name, because you are flipping the switch, your children are coming back. We claim back the children in the name of Jesus. They're coming back. They're coming back. They're coming back in the mighty name of Jesus. The game is not yet over. Maybe the devil thought he got you. I was preaching in Pretoria West, man of God. I'm preaching in Pretoria West. They had invited me to speak there. And I'm preaching. And a tall man comes straight in front where I was preaching. The ushers were trying to tackle him and all that. So and he came to me and he held me so tight. I have never felt that tightness. I felt like my bones are going to break here. And the pastor came and pulled him out of my body. And then the man says, no, I need to say something. I was just in the middle of the sermon. Just preaching life. Preaching hope. That's what we do. I came here to just preach hope. Exhort you from where you are. Because doctrine will be handled by Apostle Eurita. He's handling that already. But I'm here to push you from one stage to the other stage. Yes, yes. That's what I'm here for. I'm not going to talk about how angels fly and all that. No. I'm here to tell you that it is possible. Yeah. I'm here to tell you that you can flip the switch and things will begin to change in your life. Yeah. I'm preaching. And this man says, I have to say something. And he went into his pocket and he got a bottle. This big. And he says, do you see this? This is very, very bad poison. Oh my. I was walking on the street and I heard a voice preaching and something drew me into this building. And at the time he was entering, I was speaking against the spirit of suicide. I was breaking the powers of suicide. And then he said, I decided to come in just to listen for a little bit because I'm heading for a bush. There was a bush, you know, behind the church somewhere. And he was heading there to drink the poison and die.
Oh my.
And God sorted his situation out. This God that we serve, he sees what you are going through. He knows what you are going through. It may look hopeless. But today, we are flipping the switch in order for us to walk in victory. Hallelujah. You know what? How do we activate this? Because we need to be finishing now. How do we activate this? How do we flip this switch? You know, it's unfortunate that many people want the milk and honey, but they do not want the process. Amen. Milk and honey is nice. But to get there, I don't know how many of you have ever kept bees before. You know, bees give us honey. But to get the honey, you have to go through the bees. Uh-huh. And some of you are in the process. You know, things are biting right now. Things are biting. But guess what? On the other side, there's honey. There's honey. And the last verse that I will ask Brother Smith to put on, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, let's look at the role model that we have, Jesus Christ himself. You know, Hebrews, you know, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto my rich mayor of the city. Hello, hello. Looking unto my very wealthy grandfather. Are we reading a different Bible? Yeah. Huh? Looking unto, you know, unto the American dollar. Is that what it says? What does it say? It says, looking unto Jesus. Never miss that point. Never miss that point. You know, I don't know what you think about Jesus, but he is the best man that has ever lived on this earth before. You know, this is the man. You know, Jesus Christ never even answered foolish questions. You know, they'll ask him, are you the Son of God? He will tell them, you said it yourself. You notice that, eh? He had a mission. Jesus had a mission on the earth, looking unto Jesus. And I want to urge you, McKeesport, Judah, please, I want to urge you, no matter what is happening in your life, your eyes must be fixed on Jesus. He has a solution. He has an answer. The pastor might not have an answer. The deacons might not have an answer. But looking unto Jesus, the Bible says he is the author. Author means the writer, and he is the finisher. Finisher means there is no one who can do anything about it. When it's finished, it's finished. No one can do anything about it. He is the author, and he is the finisher of what we believe in. He is the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. Look at this. It says here, it says, my goodness. It says, who, don't miss this. Don't miss this one. We are flipping that switch today. Yes. Today. Yes. Somebody say, today is today. Yes. Somebody say, today is today. Yes. Okay, say it in my language because you don't want to say it in American. Lelo ni lelo. Lelo ni lelo. Lelo ni lelo. Hallelujah. He says, look at this. From the who there. Who, for the joy that was set before him. All right. That means there's joy. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He's seeing the joy. Yeah. Yeah. But he is here.
That's right.
Now look, I want you to follow this very well. You know, I'm about to close. This is just my second closing. I have another 15, then I close. You know, who for the joy? The joy. There's excitement there. You know, your children are back there. You know, your bank account is good there. You see, but the problem is what? You are here.
Yes, God.
Huh? And there's joy. There's joy. That there's excitement. But listen to this. Listen to this. He says, for the joy that was set before him, endured what? Look at this. Joy and cross. That means the joy is being hindered by the cross. That means to get the joy, you need the cross. To go to the joy, you need to get there through the cross. And that is why many people fail to get to the joy, because they are afraid of the cross. But today I speak tenacity into your life. Today I speak power into your life. I speak resistance. I pray that today you will face anything, any challenge that comes your way to get to the joy. To get to the, you will get there. We will get to the joy. Hallelujah. You know, the process to victory can be a hard one, but we will get there. The hope that we have is Jesus is with us. In the pain that you are going through, Jesus is with you. In the struggle that you are going through, Jesus is with you. He is with you. All you need to do, you know, you need to keep on trying. You know, even if they push you back, yes, you can stagger a little bit, but keep on going. Keep on going. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Listen to what he says. Despising the shame. The cross was a shameful thing. You might be going through shame right now, but I want you to know, don't listen to the whisperers. Don't listen to the people that are talking. Keep on enduring. Keep on enduring. Why? Because ahead there is joy. There is excitement. For the joy that was set before him, the Bible says he had to endure the cross. He despised the shame that was there. And today he sits down by the throne of grace. I declare to you today that those that will endure to the end, you will live in joy. You will live in plenty. The things that you have called upon God for, they will come to pass. Today, brother, today, sister, flip the switch into a life of victory. If anybody's here, say, yeah. My God. There are times, ladies and gentlemen, when this battle is so fierce. Even Jesus, they left him. He remained alone. There are times when the battle is about you, the devil, and God. They left him alone. These guys ate his bread when he multiplied it. These guys, you know, when there was a storm, he calmed down the storm. These guys drank the water that was turned into wine. But when the battle of life began, he was alone. He had to face the cross. He hung on the cross with thieves. He was alone. Some battles are not about your husband. They are not about your wife. They are not about your pastor. They are not about the government. Some battles are about you. David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know what? David was very unpopular on that day. You will be unpopular, but I'm seeing the joy in front. I'm seeing the joy ahead of you. You know, David was very unpopular. He says, today I'll feed you to the dogs. I'm going to deal with you. And I think the brothers are saying, you shut up, sit down. You know, they cursed at him. They said everything. And David, you know, that is why sometimes, look at this finger, close your ears from what they are saying. Close your ears from what they are saying, because they'll scare you and you fail to fight the battle, and yet the battle is already decided. God has already won the battle. Hallelujah. The great news about this, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you get there, there will be jubilation. There is pain in the process, but there is a testimony after the process. Because I know that there is no testimony without a test. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We need to activate a life of victory. We need to activate that life. Firstly, I want you to see what you are fighting for. Don't fight anyhow. What is it you want in life? And then you decide, is it worth it to fight for this? It was worth it for me to fight for that desk, that table in class, because we had 8 hours of school.
Right. Wow.
And when you are seated on the floor, you are going to be there 8 hours.
Wow.
It was heavy schooling that we were doing. Are you hearing me? They taught us English. That's why I'm communicating.
Yeah.
You're jealous, eh? Okay. So, you know, see what you are fighting for. I think health is important. So fight.
Yeah.
Are you hearing? Yeah. I think your children are very crucial. They are important. Fight.
Yeah.
Fight.
Yeah.
I think your financial stability is very important. So fight. It is worth it to fight for these things. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, how do we activate? How do we activate that? Engage in repeated encounters with God. Let me say this to church. You know, Sunday only is not enough. We need God every time.
Amen.
You know, they call you for midweek service. Don't say, I am tired. It is for your sake. It helps you to win the battles of life. They call you for women meeting. Don't say, oh, I am tired. I have to bake some scones. And then you stay home baking scones. You know, your life is precious. Your life is important. Yeah. And one of the best ways to activate, you know, victory in your life is for you to be found in the presence of God repeatedly, every now and again. Once a week is not enough. You know why? This is not a religion. This is a lifestyle.
Yeah. That's right.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So maintain a lifestyle of engaging yourself with God.
Yeah.
Number three, engage in extreme hard work. You know, the church became so lazy, especially us that went to those Bible schools. You know, they call them seminaries, but really they are cemeteries because they went to bury us. But you know, when you are in those places, they tell you to just pray. My question is, after prayer, then what? After we put down these microphones, we are done with service, then what? Because there is more to life than just sitting down. There must be hard work.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We want a church that works. I have encountered a lot of millionaires, if not billionaires. My goodness, these people work.
Yes, they do.
These people work.
They work.
One time, a multi-billionaire, I was, you know, we were discussing some things, and he told me, Sammy, let's meet at 12 a.m. in Santon. Santon is about, you know, 30 minutes drive from my place. I said, 12 a.m.? What are you doing 12 a.m.? He says, that's when I work. I have to do my work. And the man is a billionaire. Mm. Are you hearing me?
Right.
Engage yourself in extreme hard work.
Yeah. Come on.
Engage yourself, number four, in extreme prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Prayer and fasting. I know when you are Judah, it's very hard to fast, but try your best. Amen. To fast. Isolate yourself to prayer. Because the battle to victory is not for the faint-hearted.
That's right.
You need to fight the fight of faith.
Yeah.
Number five, engage yourself in extreme worship.
Amen.
We are so privileged that we even have a team that will help us to worship. Take advantage of that. Amen. Because, you see, God inhabits the praises of his people. When you worship him, he feels good.
He does.
Amen? He feels good. Yeah. Number six, engage yourself in extreme teamwork. You know teamwork?
Teamwork.
You know, teamwork means you are not alone. Remember, you are not the Alpha and Omega.
That's right.
Hello, 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 hello. You need others on your side. You need allies. Friends that speak good. And when we talk about friends, run away from people who always speak negative about you.
Right.
Come on.
Run.
And the way you must run, you see this one here?
Yeah.
Must hit here. And this one here must hit. You are gone. That is how fast you must run, because those people are no good. You need people that will encourage you in your life. People that will say you can make it.
Yeah.
people that you say, you know, you failed the last time, but this is not the last time. This is now. You can go ahead. You can move forward. You know, you need people that will give you a push and say, let's go. We can do it. You know, you need people who will say, I will be with you. I'll help you. Where you fail, I'll be there. I'll lift you up when you fall. Those are the people you need. What are you doing hanging around people that are depressing you? After a meeting with them, you are always depressed. You are always oppressed. Today I said to you, find the right people. There are people you must begin to say bye bye to, because your life is precious. Your life is important. You are getting into a life of victory. Victory is in your side. Leave the people that are depressing you. They always have a negative thing to say about you. They have negative things to say about your children. Say bye bye to them and find the right people who will say your children will come right. Who will say your children will be all right. In the name of Jesus, find the right people. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. Teamwork, that's important. You need others on your side so that you can draw wisdom. Get rid of the one-man army mentality. The Rambo mentality. Everyone, he is shooting everyone else. Him, all the 1,000 guns are not shooting him. You see Rambo? You know Rambo. He's I watch. What do you call him?
Rambo.
Rambo. Okay. Rambo. Hallelujah. You know, no matter what you are going through, keep fighting. Keep warring. I encourage you today that the game is not yet over. This game is still on. It reminds me, and last closing, it reminds me of a chess champion. We all know chess.
Right.
The game of chess. Yes. You know? And on the board, there are names of those.
Yes.
What is one of them?
Pawn.
Pawn. The other one? There's even a bishop. I'm there. Who else is there? Somebody says something here.
King.
They are all those guys. Now, this chess champion went to a tournament. He was a champion. He knew the game, in and out, all right? And the champion goes to this place, and before the game, they went to a museum in that country. There was a beautiful museum, and oh, what do they find? On the wall, there was a chessboard. And the heading that they had written in that museum, they said, checkmate.
Right.
You know what is checkmate, isn't it?
Right.
That means what?
No more move.
Game is more over. Yeah. No more move. And the champion, you know, the friend is saying, hey, we have a lot of things to see in this museum. Let's go. The friend says, no. I'm the champion of chess. I'll tell them whether this game is over or not. Ooh. All right? I mean, I'm not a champion for nothing. And he started to examine the board. He looked to the left. You know, chess, if you don't move with your eyes, you cannot play it. If you can't, you know, you need your eyes for chess. And he looked there and looked there. And the friend was gone. He was fed up of this guy. And my goodness, lo and behold, he hits his head and he goes and pulls his friend. He says, come and see, come and see. I have discovered, I have seen. The friend says, what is the problem? You're still bringing me to the chessboard. He says, look here. The king still has one more move. So this game is not over. Can I declare to you, Judah, this morning, that they said it is over, but the king still has another move for your life. It's not over until the King of Kings says it is over. You can never lose this battle because the king has not said it. You are breathing today because there is another move. There is another move in your life. There is another move in your marriage. There is another move in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, somebody stand up and shout, yeah. Stand up on your feet and shout, yeah. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I declare today that this church is a church of champions. That this church is a church of winners. I pray for those that are visiting the church, that Jehovah God, they will go out there and conquer. They'll go out there and win in the name of Jesus. Lord, you still have another move. For those that are struggling with pain and disease, and you still have another move. Lord, be glorified in the name of Jesus. We flip the switch into lives of victory. That man and that woman is walking into victory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Yes.
Let the church shout, amen.
To every nation, to every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim.